And he was very easy to photograph in some ways because he's very recognizable. So I felt like I had the freedom sometimes to photograph him from the back or from the side, sometimes in silhouette, even in a picture where he's only a very small part. You still know it's him. And you still know, you can feel the way all the attention is focused on him in the center of the picture. So it's sort of a common theme that you'll see. Many of the pictures are about how people react. And the reason this campaign was so different was that previously, and especially in the last 8 years in the United States, people had become so disenchanted. Do you know that word? They didn't believe in politics anymore. They didn't want to participate. They were tired of it. They had had enough. And for the first time in my life, it was similar with Clinton, but I was too young, I think, to really understand that. But for the first time in my life, I saw people very excited, very emotional. They felt very passionately about wanting to change the direction of their country. And Senator Obama presented his campaign as a means for change for the country. And this is when he was elected in Chicago, many people just started crying instantly, and it was a powerful photograph. It's a little darker than it actually is, but basically this is the picture. It's just backlit, just a simple form of his face. And usually you can see just a little bit of this word change. So like I was saying before, he's very interesting to photograph. He has a very recognizable profile. And his ears, everybody knows his ears too. In other times I could photograph him and just have the ears and you know that it's Obama. But also his face had become such an icon. I'd never seen a campaign where they had these artistic posters of the candidate. It was just such a different scene. So I mean, I tried to take a photo that sort of spoke to the fact that his face had become so iconic. And it's really nice on a campaign sometimes. You spend enough time observing, and every once in a while you can catch a very personal little moment. You know, everywhere we go, it's a crowd. Maybe as many people as are in here, that's how many journalists are in a pack surrounding him all the time. Almost every single photo I've shown you, there's been a ton of other photographers trying to get a photo like that. And on this day, he went to visit a county fair, a carnival. And so everybody's following him. Behind him is a crowd of photographers, all taking pictures, as he goes up to buy tickets to get on the rides and to buy food. But instead of staying back there, I came around to the back, and I stuck my head inside the little house. And in that way, I could actually see his face. So these are always things I tried to do. I tried to get away from all the other photographers. And I tried to find my own angle. And also, it was very apparent from the beginning that I joined the campaign that we still lived in the United States. This is a country that has a very troubled past with race relations. And I was reminded about how remarkable it was that a black man was running for president. Now, this had happened before with Jesse Jackson, but no black man had ever come this far. No black candidate had ever won the Democratic nomination and entered into the general race. But from the beginning, we knew that this was still a very big issue in the country, and we knew this because from the beginning, he had a full Secret Service protection. And this is the same kind of protection that a sitting president in the White House gets. And this had never happened before. It told us how real the threat was against him and how many people did not want to see a black man become president. So often I would photograph his security and try to tell this story. And this was in Birmingham, Alabama, which was at the heart of the American civil rights struggle. And so it was a perfect place to find an image like this, where that threat, you always felt it. It loomed heavy over the campaign sometimes. And sometimes I would speak to voters in places like Birmingham, and I would ask them, what do you think about Barack Obama? Are you going to vote for him? And they would tell me something that shocked me so much. I couldn't believe that I would hear that. They would say, yes, we do, but we're not going to vote for him. Because if we vote for him, we think he might die. And to hear people who had struggled for so long, and I think were so hopeful that a moment like this would happen in our history, to say this to me, it was amazing. And it reminded me that we still live in a very separated country, a very segregated country still. So sometimes a campaign rally, which we see every single day covering the campaign, day after day, it's the picture could be described as this: a man standing at the podium with lots of people all around. So if you can imagine doing this every single day, day after day, you think, those pictures, they look very impersonal. It's hard to feel like you have that connection. So this one picture I always love, because you take an event like a campaign rally, a big political speech, and you make it personal. He sort of looks like he's just sharing a laugh with some friends, with a couple of his closest friends, and to share that personal moment in such an impersonal environment is a nice thing to do. And I was always trying to look for these little details, things that you'd never get to see if you were watching on the news, things that would bring you there, would let you know what it's like to be out on a campaign. And one of these details was just how the Secret Service protected him, what they actually do to make sure that he doesn't ever get hurt. And you can see this woman is trying to, this is just a young girl trying to give him a hug. And they watch him every single second. They surround him every second. This is Secret Service, Secret Service, Secret Service, Secret Service, Secret Service. And so you can imagine sometimes also how hard it is to take a photograph of a person who's always surrounded by security. So this was a different way to do it. I'm standing on the edge of the stage with my camera like this, pointing straight down. And sometimes you get a little lucky. And, you know, I would always try to be in a different place. Sometimes I would think, if I'm standing with all the other photographers, you can see all the other photographers here, a whole line. If I'm standing with everybody else, maybe I'm in the wrong spot. My newspaper has to spend a lot of money, almost $30,000 each month to cover the campaign, for me to be out on the campaign. It's an incredible amount of money. So I'm always thinking, if I'm taking the same picture that everybody else is taking, then why should I even be here? Because my newspaper could get the pictures from the wire service, from Associated Press. So I always try to take a risk, to try to be a little more adventurous. And I was allowed to do that because my newspaper supported me in that, and they always wanted me to look for a more interesting picture. And sometimes it wouldn't work. Sometimes I would look for a more interesting angle, and it turns out I really should have been there with everybody else because they get the good picture. But my newspaper never really yelled at me, and they never said, why didn't you have that? Because they knew I was always trying to do something different. So in this case, everyone was waiting because he was entering with his two children, and there's a big American flag behind this walk, at the end of this walkway there. And I say, I don't want to photograph him in front of another American flag. It's just like every other picture. Who cares? It doesn't say anything about this. Now, his wife, Michelle Obama, we don't get to see her very much on the campaign, but I knew she was there because she introduced him, and I knew that Well, he hadn't seen her in a long time, so I knew that when he came out, there would probably be a moment where he saw her, and maybe his face would light up. I don't know. I thought maybe there's something there. And you can see, even though you can't see Michelle Obama in this picture, you can see how happy he is to see her, and it's a nice moment, and it's much better than when they came out in front of the American flag. Who cares about that? And sometimes I just look for these situations. Occasionally you get lucky. Most of the times you don't. This is one of these things. I saw the light, and I saw this really interesting composition. And it was one of these things that this is not a public setting. So I have to go and find the campaign people, the people that let you have access here and there. Because the covering a campaign is very restrictive. They say, you can only stand behind this line, you can't move anywhere else. So when I looked around and I found this, I had to go to the campaign and say, can I be here? I'm not gonna, I don't need to go any further, I just need to wait here. And usually they just said, no, we don't, you have to go back into the place that it's where all the other photographers go. But I pushed and I pushed and I said, this is a really good photo. I think I can do it without anybody even knowing, without bothering anybody. So just let me stand here. And I said, okay. And I waited and waited and waited. And for one picture, I got to see him come out. And that one picture was worth the wait. And one of the hardest things for me, too, was always asking for this access. And because you always want to take a more personal picture. You spend every single day, every single week photographing the candidate at the podium in these public events. And sometimes you want a little more personal look. What is it like behind the scenes when he's not in front of the cameras, when he's not in front of thousands of people? And it's very hard to get those moments. Maybe once every couple weeks they would let me or another photographer, sometimes they would take turns, they would let you go backstage for 5 minutes or so. And usually during that time nothing would happen. The light would be horrible. There wouldn't be a picture to be made. But on rare occasions, like this one, this is very late in the campaign, it's wonderful to get a picture where he's not... he doesn't look invincible all the time, where he doesn't look polished and ready for the camera. And this is one of those rare instances where he's showing that he's tired, that it has been a long journey, that he's not, that he's human just like everybody else. And he rarely shows that to, he rarely lets photographers or camera people catch this moment. So I was very, very happy to catch something like that. And even children knew his name when I would go to campaign events. Politics is not very interesting for kids, but this was a different race, and I found that people from the age of grade school kids all the way up to grandparents were very curious about him and curious about this change that he was talking about. And sometimes you try to make these little visual metaphors when you take your pictures. You know, your pictures don't have to be so formal and so straightforward that they tell you this is a man speaking at a podium in front of an audience. Sometimes let the readers think a little bit. Work towards making some poetry in your photographs. And this little boy named Shadrick Johnson, he got all dressed up in his best suit on a Sunday afternoon after church to come and see the president. And it was one of those images that, for a lot of people, represented the kind of hopes that African Americans had for this candidacy, and how much it meant for, especially for the African American community in the United States. And the last picture I'll show you from that story is actually from the inauguration, and this sort of represented the end of my coverage of well, then Senator Obama, now President Obama. And this is the moment, this is a very interesting moment. This is at a point where no one else can see him. This is at the Capitol building, right before he's about to take the stage. This is my favorite photo from the inauguration, more than the photos where he's being sworn in and he's taking the oath of office, and this is not the defining moment of the inauguration of the ceremony, but it's a photo that nobody else really could see. I was at a podium very far away, and I had one of these long, these lenses that's this long and out in the cold, and I can see all the way in, inside the Capitol building. And it's sort of him on the verge of taking this next step from going from being a candidate to being the president. And it was an interesting moment for me because it sort of ended my coverage of this story too. So to see this look of anticipation, the moment before it all happened, to me, it was always my favorite image. So it's kind of interesting. The very next day after I took this picture, I found myself in South Dakota, the story I was telling you about before with the boxers. So if you can imagine, two more different stories. One day I'm in Washington, D.C., surrounded by millions of people at this inauguration for our president. And the next day I'm in a very rural, very cold Native American reservation in the middle of the country. And it's part of the beauty of being a photojournalist is that you can go from a place like that to a place like this in just a day and have completely unique experiences. This is a story about young boxers on this reservation and a story about how boxing is hopefully a way for them to overcome some of the struggles of poverty, alcoholism, violence that they encounter on this reservation. So we did the story on this young woman. Her name is Cheryl Ziegler. She's 17 years old. Is this my phone or is somebody else's phone? No, my phone is off. I thought it was off. So we did the story about Cheryl Ziegler. She's 17 and a half years old. She has a 1.5-month-old baby, and she's a boxer, and she's in high school. She plays basketball. She's a Native American woman. She's got a lot of stuff going on in her life. Here she's working out with her trainer in the little gym in her town. And this hole in the wall was created when a fight broke out and somebody threw the other person through the wall. This is at home with her friend preparing for a basketball game, just braiding her hair. And I always look for these little elements that set the stage, that tell you what is it like to be there? What are the people, how do they decorate their walls? What are the things that they appreciate? What is their culture like? Hunting is a big part of the culture, and a connection with nature is a big part of the culture there too. It's not very common though to have a young girl boxer, and a lot of times when she would go to fight, people would stare at her and kind of laugh a little bit. So she's just a kid herself, but she finds herself as a mother and trying to care for her own child. And I'm always looking for these little photos that, like I say, sort of set the scene, set the tone for what the place is like. It's a very tough environment. Just physically, the weather is brutal. It's very desolate, very poor. This is a place where all the dogs come in the middle of the town. It's a place where aid organizations leave food that people can come and get to supplement their own incomes. And it's an interesting contrast to go from this photo to this photo. Go back and forth. I sort of talked about this one. I chose to do this story in black and white because it felt like it was easier to get at the essence of this story. The light was often very challenging, very difficult, and kind of distracting too. It felt like it was much harder to get at the subjects, to get at the personalities, and really what I thought was the heart of each individual picture, doing it in color. All right, so the next story, this is a story I actually worked on some time ago when I was working at the Dallas Morning News. A story I started to talk about a little bit. One of the most interesting stories I've ever done. And this is a story that that I found by going to a museum one day. And when I went to this museum, there was a little poster on the wall that said, Angola Prison Rodeo, next month. I said, prison rodeo? Is everybody familiar with a rodeo in America? Has everybody heard of a rodeo? No? It's a very typical event from the southern part of the United States, where they, you know, cattle farming, raising cows and bulls. It's a very important way of life, and so they have this sporting event that revolves around the tradition of raising cattle, and all of these events are skills that are tied into cattle farming. So you have events where you have to ride on top of a bull, you know, the big male cow. where you have to capture the horses using a rope, you know, all these things. It's a very very big part of the culture in the southern part of the United States. So, but to see this event, oh sorry, I'll let you go. To see an event like this happen at a maximum security state penitentiary, a state prison, was an incredible thing. I never imagined there would be such a thing. Many of the inmates here had never even seen a cow in their lives, or a bull. So they had no idea. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. Are you familiar with the Roman gladiators? The fights that they used to have in ancient Rome at the Colosseum, where they would pit these strong men up against lions and tigers. This to me seemed like the closest thing still in our world that was similar to the ancient Roman gladiators. So here the inmates, they sing the national anthem behind bars. And it's a chance for them to have fun. You know, most of the time they are in their cells in this high security prison. They get out for a day and you get to party a little bit. But some of these events, you can see this is a very strong bull. This is very a very dangerous animal. So the object of this game, what is this called? Guts and Glory is the name of this event. I don't know if you can translate that. But the object is they put a poker chip on top of the bull. And the object is whichever man can take that chip off of his head gets to win $500. It's one of the most dangerous things, and people often end up on a stretcher going to the hospital after. And you can see what a crazy situation it is, too. They put all these guys on the bulls, and they let them go. See what happens. This is another event. Called convict poker, where everybody sits at a table, like as if they were playing poker, playing cards, and they let loose the biggest, meanest bull into the ring with them. And it's like a game of chicken. I don't know if they have this idea in China. It's everybody sits still at the table, and whoever is the last person sitting is the winner. So the bull at some point realizes there are people there, and he destroys the entire table and sends this poor guy flying. And the guard gets to break for lunch, but these guys just get to watch from behind the fence. And, you know, at an event like this, I always try, you know, I try not to forget that, you know, at the heart of all these things are people. And these are prisoners in jail, and, you know, this is something that we don't usually have a lot of access to. You can't usually photograph prisoners in jail. And more than just photographing the events, it is a public sporting event. So I want to get these action photos like I showed you before, but I also want to show the readers what these people are like, that they're real people. They have their own emotions, their own stories. Part of taking you to that event is showing you all the little things that are around the big event. I always say that you should, you know, one of the most important things for a photojournalist is to always arrive early and to always stay late. Because some of your best photos are not going to come at the time that you think they are. They're going to come in those quiet moments before it happens, or in the closing moments of the day when everything is over. I find these little details interesting too. The fact that where you go to get your tickets for this rodeo, there's bars everywhere and there's razor wire, and you're reminded that even though this is a public event, you're still entering into a high security prison. But they make it a big event for the whole family, and you can come and take pictures of your kids behind bars, just like they're little prisoners. And you can eat some candy as you're watching people taken away in the ambulance.